Well, thank you very much for the welcome this morning, and it's lovely to be with you and to share in your morning service, and particularly this morning when we've had three new people brought into membership in the fellowship, and we trust that the Lord will bless and encourage you, and that you will encourage them, but that also you will encourage the members who have been members for many years, because it's a working together for the glory of God's kingdom. In reaching out into the community of the places we live, the places we work, and even the places we go on holiday. Our lives are to resemble Christ wherever we go and whatever we do. And we trust the Lord will bless you as a fellowship as you seek to follow and serve and glorify God in your lives day by day. Those of you who don't know me, my name is James Bovenizer. I'm married to Linda. I'm Irish, as you probably can pick up from my accent. But if I were to ask you what part of Ireland I'm from, you'd probably get it wrong. Because quite often I would get you're from the north, when actually I'm from 200 miles south of Belfast. I'm a good Southern Irish person who married a Scot. Oh yes, it gets better than that. Because I'm living in England, and my two boys are Prestonians. So we're, I don't know what you can call us, what you like. But the main thing is, we love the Lord. And our desire is to serve Him. We work with the Faith Mission. Many of you, have come across the Faith Mission. It's a rural Christian missionary organization seeking to reach out into the communities where God has placed us throughout the British Isles and further afield, where God leads us. And over the last, omitting the last 2 years, for quite a number of years, I've been involved in the school in Gisborne, which I would ask you to pray for as we try and get back in there to teach the Word of God and to share the good news of the Gospel. I've been in quite a number of schools out here. I've been out at Waddington there just before Christmas, and Sladeburn. Oh, I love Sladeburn in the ice. You get up and you just slide back down into the valley. And when you're in the valley, you have to work your way back up again to slide back down out of it. But I love the country, and I love going out into the countryside and to meet the people and to share the good news of the Gospel. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your support. And may the Lord bless you as a fellowship as you continue to pray and support the people of God's work who are out there full-time. We're all full-time. But there are those who are at it all of the time where God has called us to go. And we thank you for your support prayerfully and financially, and trust that the Lord will bless you. Just to give you a little bit of the background of the work that we do in the schools. I'm not sure how many of you have heard of Walk Through the Bible. Put your hands up if you've heard of Walk Through the Bible or Bible Explorer. Okay, some of you are looking dumbfounded. Yes, okay, that's okay. I'll give you just a little bit of an idea of what it is. I'll do the book of Genesis for you. And so we start with our hands at the bottom and we go creation. We make the shape of the world. So we go creation. And then when everything goes wrong, it falls. So that's speaking about when sin entered the world. So we've got creation, fall. Then when a lot of water gathers together, we get a flood. I'm talking about Noah. And then we put our hands back to back and we begin to talk of how the nations began. So we'll do those. We go creation, fall, flood, nations. And then we do the stars with our hands and we talk about a man called Abraham. And then Isaac, well, he was full of laughter, go, ha, ha, Isaac. Oh, yes. Who had a son called Jacob, and he always wrestled with God. Who had a son called Joseph and was the picture of Christ in the Old Testament. And it goes like this. Creation, fall, flood, nations, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph. We're to teach that in an hour. to years 9 and 10 in primary school, or years 5 and 6, 9 and 10 year olds, 9, 10, 11 year olds. What a privilege to take God's word to the children of our nation. Walk Through the Bible have reached well over 500,000 children taking God's word to the children of our nation. Will you pray that God would send more people to train and go into our schools and reach the communities that they live in, to teach them of this book, the big picture of God, who he is, how he sent his son Jesus into the world to die on the cross for the sin of the world, and to have the opportunity to allow the children to ask questions. Please pray that God would come and visit our land through our young people as they grow up and come to know and love the Lord Jesus as their Savior. We don't hear very often of what God does. But just a couple of weeks ago, I was taking a service in a church. And as he shared a little bit about this program in our schools, the person who was leading, he said, you know, my grandchild, that was part of, with the help of others, that brought him to faith in Christ. Can God turn our nation back? Yes, he can. But the question is, do you believe it? That's the hard question. He can. But we must believe and we must ask him. And that's just a little bit of the work that we do, as well as school assemblies and visiting and taking services and doing gospel outreach in wherever and whatever opportunities. And I'd ask you to pray for us, and to pray for us as a family and as a mission as we seek to serve the Lord. I could go on, but I'm not going to. We're going to turn to the book of Daniel. Daniel and chapter 1. And as I was thinking about this morning, my mind was, through the week, was just going all different directions. And I was brought to Daniel. Daniel chapter 1, we'll read the whole of the chapter. And as we listen to his word this morning, just ask God to give us open hearts and ears to hear the voice of Jesus speaking to us. Let's read from Daniel chapter 1. I'm reading from the New King James. Please follow in whatever version you are using this morning. Daniel chapter 1, verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with some of the articles of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the articles into the treasure house of his God. Then the king instructed Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants and some of the nobles, young men in whom there was no blemish, but good-looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge and quick to understand, who had ability to serve in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies and of the wine which he drank, and 3 years of training for them, so that at the end of that time they might serve before the king. Now from among those of the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. To them the chief of the eunuchs gave names to. He gave Daniel the name Belteshazzar, to Hananiah Shadrach, to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not define himself with a portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into the favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs. And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who has appointed you your food and drink. For why should he see your faces looking worse than the young men who are your age? Then you would endanger my head before the king. So Daniel said to the steward, whom the chief of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, please test your servants for 10 days, and let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then let our appearance be examined before you, and the appearance of the young men who eat the portion of the king's delicacies. And as you see fit, so deal with your servants. So he consented with them in this matter and tested them 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, their features appeared better and fatter in flesh than all the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies. Thus the steward took away their portion of delicacies and the wine, and they were to drink and gave them vegetables. As for these four young men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days, when the king had said that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. Then the king interviewed them, and among them all, none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore, they served before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding, about which the king examined them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers who were in all his realm. Thus Daniel continued until the first year of King Cyrus. Amen. And we trust the reading of God's word will speak to our hearts. Let's bow for a short prayer. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your goodness and your love to us. We thank you, Lord, for the joy of being able to gather like this in your presence. We thank you for the freedom that we have to open your word and read it out loud. And Father, as we seek to meditate upon it in these next moments, come, Lord Jesus, speak to both hearer and preacher alike, and draw us closer to yourself, that we would be found walking with you day by day, and that Christ will be gloried in all that we do and say. Speak to both hearer and preacher alike, for we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. 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 Here we have the book of Daniel. The man who learned God's secrets. And here, the book of Daniel, it is an amazing book. And the amazing book of Daniel is a book of adventure in faith and a book that previews the future. And if we had time, we could go in and look at some of these things, but we haven't got time to do all of that this morning. But Daniel had been taken into captivity by King Nebuchadnezzar, along with his friends. It is a testing time for these young men of faith, and we all face times of testing throughout our lives. And so Daniel's amazing life. They'd been taken from Judah, southern Israel, into Babylon, and this was during the years of captivity from 605 BC to 538 BC. And that was during the time when there were mostly bad kings. There's another sign for you from Bible Explorer. Mostly bad kings. Oh, yes. Oh, by the way, only 8 remained faithful 30, 32 weren't. All right, no, 31 weren't. Get it right.
Okay.
Because there were 39 kings who ruled during those 400 years, and only 8 remained faithful, one of which were a queen. And during this time, Daniel was chosen as one of the 4 to serve King Nebuchadnezzar. While Daniel was in captivity, he was shown God's plan for the future. Why God shared his secrets with Daniel? Why did he share his secrets with Daniel? Well, first of all, we see Daniel's clean heart. He had a clean heart. Why? Because Daniel purposed in his heart, as we see there in verses 8 and verse 11, it says, "But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank." Verse 11. So Daniel said to the steward, whom the chief of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Please test your servants." So Daniel and his friends and the people of Judah were taken into captivity. They were brought to partake of this meal that King Nebuchadnezzar had put on for all of these people and his own people, which had been offered to idol worship. And Daniel goes, hey, hang on a minute. I'm not going to defile my body with food that has been offered to idol worship. And he stood his ground. But the king's right-hand man, Melzer, was concerned. Because he was concerned, what will the king think? My life will be in difficulty if you don't partake of this. But Daniel said, just give us 10 days. And the king agreed. And the question I want to ask you this morning, because Daniel's life influenced Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as we know them better. And the question I want to ask you this morning, does your life challenge those around you to follow Christ and live for him? Boy, that's a challenge, isn't it? Daniel purposed to keep their hearts clean for the Lord, for the God of heaven. And this took courage. Life or death would be it was the result. Nebuchadnezzar held the power of life and death over Daniel. But what the king called design, Daniel called defilement. And what the world says is right is not always right, because God is not always in it. Sadly today, right is wrong in many instances, and wrong is right. Little thought for fellow man, because I want what I want, and what I want it now. Isn't that the kind of world we live in? No matter what it takes, people will do anything to get what they want. The king planned to control every detail of Daniel's life. The order to eat the food offered to idol worship, as we see there in verse 5. Refusing to comply with this plan could result in death. And so that was because Daniel purposed in his heart to honor God. Secondly, we see that Daniel's decision required faith and courage. It required faith and courage. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. Psalm 25 says this, "To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul, O my God. I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. Indeed, let no one who waits on you be ashamed.
Let those be ashamed who deal treacherously without cause. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach. And teach, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. The secret of the Lord is with those who fear him, and he will show them his covenant. He will show them his covenant. And Daniel's devotion was to a higher king. Just like someone getting married, they are devoted to each other. But our lives, first and foremost, must be devoted to God, then to each other, then to others. He made a life-changing decision. Not only did he make a life-changing decision, but his decision involved full surrender to his Lord. It not only involved full surrender to his Lord, but God reveals his secrets to those who trust him. Who is the Lord of your life this morning? Who is the Lord of your life? Is it your possessions? Your bank account? Your home? Your car? Whatever it is? Or is it God? All of those things will rot and fade away, but God will never. God will never. You see, David also came to desire a clean heart after he committed adultery with Bathsheba. When Jonathan came to him and saw something different with David, his best friend, and said, "What is wrong with you?" And David thought, "Oh, I've got it covered up. Nobody knows about this." But his best friend did. He said, "You better get it sorted out." When David came in Psalm 51 and wrote a confession for his sin. "Wash me, cleanse me thoroughly from my sin, from an iniquity, and cleanse me." And further down that psalm, in Psalm 51 verses 10 and 11, he says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me." Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. You know the joy of knowing the Lord as your Savior, that he's with you right in the darkest times. I can take you back 25 years ago. That's how old our eldest son, who has special needs, is. He's 24 and a half, actually, but I'm taking you back just a little bit before he was born. And in the first scan Linda had, there were difficulties picked up. And we were sent for more detailed scans. The result came back that our son John would not survive. And if he did, maybe 5 to 10 minutes after birth would be it. Can I say to you, everything they picked up on scan was exactly right. But what they did not know was there was a lot of other things there that the scan did not pick up on. And as well as that, God was in control.
And I remember during those months of expecting our first child and not knowing whether we would have a baby to bring home or not, and crying out to God, not knowing how to pray, just simply saying, God help me. God help us. I could get nothing else out because my heart broke. And can I say to you, God was with us all the way. And I believe today that God has used him, even though he cannot speak, God has used him to touch people's lives. Some ladies will come and say, I missed my cuddle this morning. And sometimes that might be just all they need to realize that God loves them. You see the importance of showing love and God's love and having care and respect one for another. Even when someone cannot speak, they can embrace love and they can give it out. How much more important it is for us who can speak and understand to show it and give it. God loves you this morning. And he cares for you. God loved Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego as they were taken out of captivity from Judah into Babylon. Into an area of defilement. And yet God protected them. And used them for his glory. My mind goes to Queen Esther in Persia. When Mordecai came to her and said, you are here for such a time as this. Friends, this morning, we are here for such a time as this. We have a responsibility, myself included, to live for God, to tell of his love, and to point people to Jesus, the one who loves, who cares, as we partake around the table this morning, who gave his life upon the cross and shed his blood for the forgiveness of sin. And only when his blood has been applied through the forgiveness of sin, through repentance and asking for his forgiveness, only then can we know and understand what it is to know and love the Lord Jesus as Savior of your life. Because knowing him is what will take you through the difficulties of life. Daniel's decision affected his choices in life. I'll say that again. Daniel's decision affected his choices in life. He would refuse the king's wine and meat. Why? It was offered to idol worship. Commandment number 2. I'll give you a way you can remember commandment number 2. I teach the 10 commandments to these children in school. And the following year I'll go back and teach New Testament. And we'll come across the 10 commandments in the New Testament. And you know what? A class will give me all 10 commandments back a year later. When our world has forgotten them. If you kneel down to bow, you become a number 2. Have you got that?
When you kneel down, you turn into the number two. So what is number two? Do not bow down to false idol worship. Have you got that? Do not bow down and worship any idol worship. Commandment number two. You can check it out. Exodus 20. There you are. So how would he would live differently than his captors? Why? Because he believed and trusted in the God of heaven. As a Christian this morning, we are to live differently. How we speak. Where we go. What we watch on the telly. You know, we need to bear in mind, others might not see us, but God sees us all the time. The world has so many temptations to tempt us into disobedience to God. The TV, oh yes, we enjoy the Winter Olympics, I love them. I like to watch them. Six Nations are on. I like to watch the rugby, not so much football. That's true. Gambling. What's mostly advertised in our TVs? Gambling. The greatest ruin. Drinking. Drugs. Sex. Outside of marriage, etc. The decisions you make as an individual will affect the choices you make in life. Choose to follow God, and He will help you to make those right choices that will honor him. So we have Daniel purposed in his heart to keep it clean. Daniel's decision required faith and courage. Daniel's decision affected his choices in life. But then we have Daniel's consistent life. It is not far from resolution to reality. Testing is sure to follow testimony. Sometimes I have to ask myself, what's going wrong when I'm not tested? Because when we're doing what God wants us to do, we will be tested. And that's what deepens our faith. Melzer arrived with the king's meat and wine, as we see there in verses 10 through to 14. And Daniel's decision called for full commitment. Daniel's faith enabled him to issue a challenge. Why? Because he was confident that God would come through and he and his friends must be true. So we must be true. And we must be true to God and to those around us. Daniel would be known as a man with one purpose. His purpose would be to serve the Lord rather than the king. Daniel requested to be excused from taking the food and the wine. He respectfully stated his convictions. Are you prepared this morning to state your convictions of why you won't do certain things like gambling, swearing, watching filth on the TV because of whom you serve and worship? I trust your Christian life is not just for a Sunday, but that it is through the week also. What about a Monday morning? Daniel's consistent life affected Melzer and moved him to agree, as we see there in verse 14. What are you facing that could defile you today? Will you ask God to help you overcome it and turn away from what may cause you to stumble and fall? Daniel's example of courage and faith overcame Melzer's fear. As Ephesians 6 and verse 10 says, they were strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Joshua, when he came to the time after Moses had died, and he was anointed to become the next leader, God said to Joshua, be strong and courageous and be of a good courage and you will know success. Friends, this morning, we need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. But what about Daniel's confidence in God? Yes, the test of faith. Prove thy servants. Living lean in a land of plenty. Vegetable soup tasted better than wine and meat. Obedience to God makes life sweet. The results of this test of faith and obedience, what are they? Daniel and his friends were healthier than the others who were Daniel and his friends were healthier than the others and were at peace with the God of heaven. Can I say to you this morning, you may be going through a difficult time in your life that nobody else might know anything about. But if you know and love the Lord as your Savior, you can know a peace that only God can bring. Those months leading up to John's birth, 25 years ago, was really difficult. But can I say to you, we knew a peace. Even in the midst of turmoil. That's what God does. He doesn't always take it away, but he carries you through. Is he carrying you through this morning? Is he helping you? Because friend, if he isn't, you're missing out. And it's what you need to do is turn to him. Confess your sin. Ask for his forgiveness. Invite him to be your Savior. And trust him to be Lord of your life. And only then will you begin to experience the peace of God that passes all understanding. And others will see. We had to go to the hospital regularly before John was born. And the doctor we saw week after week came to the point of saying, I'm sorry, but I can't see you anymore. Because you're expecting me to give you an answer that I can't. Why? We had a peace. We were trusting God, and he could not take it. He couldn't handle it. Live for God and let your life be an illustration and an example of it. Because even the unbelievers saw the difference in Daniel's life. Those who live close to God learn his secrets. God gave these four faithful young men knowledge, skill in learning, and wisdom. Daniel was given an understanding of the secrets of God. Spurgeon says, Saints can understand heavenly mysteries. They have been initiated into the fellowship of the skies. Question I want to ask you again this morning is, how close are you to God? How close are you to God? How will your church be affected by your faith decision? Dodge defilement by drawing closer to Christ today. Friend, this morning, God knows who you are. He knows where you stand before Him. You can fool those around you, but you can't fool God. And if you want to experience the joy of sins forgiven and the assurance of an eternal home with Him in heaven, begins at the cross. Admit you're a sinner. Ask for His forgiveness. And say, Lord Jesus, come into my life and help me to live for You. For 15 years, I read the Bible. I prayed. I went to church. I went to Sunday school. I was accepted into the membership of the church at the age of 12. And yet was not a Christian. Until at the age of 15 I realized, through an accident I had on a farm, that when we get to heaven and be with the Lord, we will receive a new body, the Bible teaches us. I thank the Lord for that accident, because it made me realize that I wouldn't be there, because I hadn't confessed my sin and asked Jesus to be my Savior. And at the age of 15, I realized I needed to confess and ask for God's forgiveness and invite Him to be my Savior. See this book here? It was just a book until the age of 50. But from then, it became the living Word of God. And God speaks to us through it. If you know and love the Lord Jesus, allow Him to speak to you. Ask Him to speak to you as you open it up. But maybe this morning, you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior. You know, you might come not knowing Him as your Savior, but you can take Him home with you by simply saying, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. Please forgive me and come in. And He will, if you are truly honest and sincere for asking God to forgive you. You will have only one regret then. Do you know what that is? You didn't do it sooner. Because He will be with you every step of the way. If God is speaking to you this morning, do not ignore it, because you might not get another opportunity. Many years ago, there were an elderly couple attending a prayer meeting in a home. And they came out of that prayer meeting. They were crossing the road to get into their car. And were knocked down and killed. Life at best is very brief. We do not know what tomorrow holds. But the Bible teaches us, today is the day of salvation. Today is your opportunity. Do not ignore it, but come to Him. Our closing hymn is 988. And it says, how deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. Verse 3 says, I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom. But I will boast in Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer. But this I know with all my heart. His wounds have paid my ransom. Can I say to you this morning, as we sing this hymn, and if God has been speaking to you, I want you to come and speak to Alan or to myself. And we will point you to the one who can save you. We can't. But God can. And if you've done it quietly, please tell us. Because confession with the mouth is confession with the Master and witness with Him. Don't delay, but come to Jesus.